Today's daf is Masechet Chulin, daf Kuf Yud Beit. We're holding on the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beit, last word on third line up from the bottom. Abba Chizkiel Mikrom Abaye, as far as Halach is concerned over the issues that we just raised, Dagim She'alu B'Ke'ara Mutar Lochlan B'Kutach, fish that had been boiling hot in a kara in which it had recently been used for cooking basar, so that it was ben yomo. Nonetheless, it's permissible to eat them inside of a cheese pudding. And as we said yesterday, the Svaradim indeed are noyig that way, and the Ashkenazim are machmer, and they won't do it unless it's not a ben yomo. And the women won't do it even if it's not a ben yomo. So those are the three shilot. As far as the other problem is concerned, which is the problem of the radish that was cut with a fleishke knife. Over here, you're not dealing merely with the issue of not barnat, because when it comes to a knife, we're always afraid of there being shamnunit on the knife itself, if it hasn't been properly taken care of before. And what taken care of means, as we saw yesterday, was a big machlokas legabe sakin shel shchita, whether it would be possible, which is how many understand Rashi, that if you actually had washed off the knife, then it would be kosher, even for chamin. Or there's many who hold that that's dafka because it's dam, and dam doesn't really get into things, because as the Gemara says, it's mishrashari. But if you're talking about a sakin that has shamnunis of iser, many shittas hold that you can't even rely on a rubbing it off, which usually is as good as hadocha. You have to be dats bekarka, which is the way that we're noyeg. You have to put it into hard ground several times to make sure that anything that was stuck on it, because of the fact that a knife, again, because of the pressure, things become very, very much stuck to it. And that's the only way to get rid of it, is also under pressure. So you use hard ground, in which you stick it in a fresh place over and over again. So here, we have a problem of shamnunis. However, we have a combination of issues. One is the pressure of the knife against the tznon, and the other is the fact that the tznon itself, being a davar chorif, makes the shamnunis very tasty. This is bichlal, an overall issue, that when you have a davar chorif, even where you have things that are not a ben yomo, we're going to see later on, the charif itself, charifus, turns tam into valuable tam. Here we're not talking about eno ben yomo, but the same principle applies. So because we're using tznon, you cannot use that tznon together with kutach, even though you could use the dogim shalo bikara with kutach. However, this is only where we're talking about a tznon, because a tznon is also sharp. And agav churpe bola, because of the fact that it is sharp, you will also be bolea from the pressure of the knife. Avokishos. Suppose you're cutting a mushroom. What are you going to do with a mushroom? How do they translate mushroom? Truffle, really, I think is what a kishot really is. But what do they call it? Oh, they call it kishos. Okay, let's use it different ways. All right, but anyway, something soft. Or something soft, what you need to do is gore lebe paske. You have to rub off the area where it was cut. Now, the issue over here is there are three levels of removal of things that are on other things. One is the level in which we simply need to wash, rub, or be gorer, depending on the thing that you're talking about. Gorer is to scrape, but it doesn't really mean scraping with the scraper. It means to rub against it, and that takes off little pieces. So here, simply the issue is there is no way to wash off a truffle, or perhaps if it's a very soft squash, it would be the same problem. There's nothing that you could do with it. So the three general ways, we start off at the top, where we have areas where the upper level of the thing actually absorbed, and that requires netila. Netila means you need the thickness of a thumb that has to be removed from it and thrown away. There's no way to actually take off the yisur without cutting that amount off. The other level would be klipa. Today, klipa means that you have to be able to scrape off a piece that will hold together. It doesn't have to be thick, but it has to be able to hold together. Now, obviously, neither of those are what we're talking about over here. What we're talking about over here is the equivalent of hadocha on something that you cannot do hadocha to. So what you do is you rub the area that was exposed to the knife, and little pieces fall off all of the things that may have absorbed anything from the knife, and then you can eat it. But there is also a different issue that needs to be taken into consideration here, and that is there are substances which are unaffected by the taste completely. Let's say turnip. If you have kilchit lifta, so then it would be mutter. And over there, it doesn't have any kind of impact on the shuman. You can't taste the shuman in lefet. It doesn't have any harifut, and it doesn't have any thing in it that is going to be nicker to taste the shuman. So therefore, there's no problem. So kilchit de lifte is shari, but the silky is asire. If you have something that doesn't have mitikut, doesn't have harifut, then there's no problem. But if you have something that can absorb the taste, even if it isn't charif, then there would be a problem. But what you could do is, you could use lefet, so you cut through a piece of turnip with your knife. Let's say you have vegetables in front of you that you need to process. So you've got some turnip, you've got some beets, and so on. Cut turnip first. When you cut the turnip first, it removes the shamdunis from the surface of the knife. Then you can use that knife to cut the vegetable that would have been affected by it, as long as it's not charif. So then it would be shapir dami. Oh, I forgot that I wanted to just run over with you some of the... Hello? Is this recording? Testing? No, it's not recording. Hello? No, it is recording. It's just there's too much light for me to see. Yeah, it's recording. No, it's recording. I didn't realize how bright it was here. So, okay, let's just go over where... La Lochet comes out. Of course, we've got a lot of chumras that we don't really see in the Gemara. In the Gemara, it appears clear that if you do shalika on the liver, that most of the shittas held it was mutter, especially if it was just shalok by itself. The only problem that we had yesterday was one shita that held that just like tibul would make it soft and therefore would reabsorb the dam, so too shalika would make it soft and reabsorb the dam. However, one would think that if you do chalita first, which we saw earlier, so that you cauterize using, say, vinegar or boiling hot water, you first put the liver in it, that then it's never going to be penetrated the dam, which is really true la'alocha, but not l'maisa, because of the fact that the Rif brings that the as are doing this, sholchu mena yeshiva, so apparently in Bavel, the Ga'inim were makbid on it, the Rif says not to do it. Many of the Rishonim say that this is only mitam minhaga. And therefore, if it was done, if you have a tziruf of the time, you can be matrit b'diavad. But lechatchila, we don't show like livers. But the question is, what is that referring to? Remember that there were two shita to Tosafot. One was the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, that melicha helps for liver, the same way that tzliya does, because he understands melicha. Just as we said that malicha is the equivalent of tzliya when it's cham, it should be the equivalent of tzliya in getting out the blood. Why not? So according to him, if you did malicha, there for sure would be no problem because then there's no blood left. The only discussion throughout these sugyas is where you did not do malicha, and then the question is whether we remater the dam of the kaved that remains there because it's kulei dam anyway. Tosafos himself brought the exact opposite approach against the Rabbeinu Tam, which is feels as much more the intuitive way that the sugya seems to be working out, which is that on the contrary, melicha does not help at all. So that the question of the problem of the melicha would not help for you to be able to be shalek. That's what we're talking about, is after melicha. Without melicha, there was bichlal, not even a havamina that we would be matir. That was Tosafos' own sheet. There are other Rishonim, including the Ran, who learn that melicha has no impact at all on the liver. It doesn't make it more mutter, it doesn't be mutzi the dam, and it just sort of loses, makes it a different consistency, as we'll see. But it's not going to be mutter, and therefore the question over here would be b'nogea, that liver itself. Is the shlika allow the liver to reabsorb dam, or once that dam has been removed, the liver continues to be pilate, and it will not be balea? We're going to see more about that later today as well. Halacha l'maisa, unfortunately, the minhag has become to aser completely, at least for Ashkenazim, so that we don't boil liver without first doing a full tzliya. And even in the tzliya, remember, we had a problem with the sampunais. So we said that yesterday, we learned that if the sampunais were left with dam in them, that dam is not dam of the liver, that dam is dam that's asur midoraita, that is just lying there in the sampunais. But it's not dam eivorim, in which case you'd have to be much more machmir. According to which, when we said yesterday, do not broil, the way Rashi understood it, a liver, unless you first cut through it, and then you place it upside down on the fire where the sampunis can drain into the flame. Tosfos, of course, learned that for tzli, you don't need to do anything, because tzli will remove all of the blood, even if it's shalim. And the only discussion in the Gemara was boiling. Halakha l'maisa, even though, again, mi'ikra din, you can't be zolet without the cutting. Minig has been asked to do anything but the cooking of a liver after tzviyah, although the Rama is matir, even for Ashkenazim, taking a whole liver and doing tzela it on fire. But as far as cooking afterwards, or inside, some kind of oil, people often make a liver, a fried liver kind of thing. For that, you would need to cut it before, cut it into pieces, which is the easiest approach. And then, after the tzliya, when it's cut, then you can boil it. So that's what we do with the liver. The tchol, we accept the Gemara's approach, just do regular melicha, don't have any problem with the tchol. The beidui, when it's in pay, but unfortunately, we don't have enough beginning to deal with the beidui, and therefore we don't need this. They don't mix basar b'chalav. The only problem that we had was if it's on the same table where people who know each other are eating, and without any hecker that could easily pass from one to another. The problem over here is that even though we would think intuitively that there should be less of a problem, it's really more of a problem. Why? If you have a container of salt, when you talk about a container of salt, it's not the kind that is the modern container that is sealed with some holes in it. The container, the way you use, where you stick your fingers into the salt and spread the salt with your fingertips. So this they would do both with salt and with the cheese dip, kimcha. Now the question is, if you have one next to the other, it's very easy to stick your fingers into both and to drop a little bit of cheese into the ma'ala, not realizing that there's any cheese in the ma'ala, and then using the ma'ala for something that you're going to be having with meat, or putting in a few tickets. Part of the vinaigrette, and therefore it's not banned. So, but you have actually kutach, which is very sharp and salty cheese dip, and a bird that was uncooked fell into it. And this is maluach. So l'chora, on the surface, this is going to be a serious issue over here, because we were moleach the bird with cheese. So what would be the din in such a case? So the bird falls into it, and they came to ask the shayla to Reb Chinina b'rei de Rava mipashunia, and he was matir. Shaya Rav Chinina b'rei de Rava mipashunia, and he said, It's not a problem, even though the kutach is maliach, you could still go ahead and cook this bird up and eat it. So then Rava heard about his psak. Omar Rava, man chokim l'mishri kagavna, ilav rabchinin amrein rabim mipashruni. I ask you, who's got the guts and the brains to be matur this? If it wouldn't be rabchinin amrein rabim mipashruni. Because I'll tell you what he's figuring. Kasavar, ki omar shmuel maliach oreil kiroteach. Because I know what you guys are all thinking. Wow, this is terrible because it's maluach. And maluach, we said all along, as a din at Tzili, it would be like you would sail this inside of cheese. But his svara is that Shmuel's maimer of maliach being the equivalent of roteach doesn't mean something salty. It means something salted. Salted means it's not meant to be eaten in that way. You need to wash it off. Over here, the salt is being used as preservative, not as something that is giving taste. But in this case, obviously, the kutach isn't that way. The kutach is meant to be eaten this way, with its salt. So where did he say, Shmuel was only referring to a case where it was so salty that it wouldn't be eaten this way. It would only be preserved in this way. The whole point over here is that the kutach is eaten because of its belich. Now, the whole discussion over here was where the bird falls in uncooked. Is one piece, but if the bird had already been barbecued, since it was silly, then that softens it, and therefore it gets the taste of the cheese all around, and over there, you would have to take off kedei klipa, around the entire outside of the bird, and it wouldn't be enough to wash it off, you actually have to take off a thin piece of the chicken all around it, and what's worse is, they peel it. If there's any places where it was not only roasted, but where the skin has broken, and now it's open, and they can get into it, or maybe you stuck in your fork in it to allow, you know, juices to escape, then you got a serious problem, because then the cheese is going to get into the whole thing. And in that case, there's no way to be matir with a klipa, and therefore kule osur. Not only that, but just as we saw yesterday, that you can soften a liver through tibul, the same thing would be true over here. If this bird had been seasoned before, then this whole halacha doesn't apply because the seasoning softs it. And if it's mitbal betavlin, then the whole thing becomes awesome. Om Rav Nachman, Om Hashmul, kikar shechatach aleha basar asur la'achila. You took a piece of meat off of the rotisserie and you cut this piece of meat over a piece of bread, which allows all of the red juice to come out of it. So then you're not allowed to eat it because it's filled with blood. Now, obviously, it's not really filled with blood, because once it's already roi lachila, as we saw earlier, the red juice that comes out of it is called mu'al be'alma, and that doesn't have a din of blood. That was what we understood yesterday. We were talking about the beidugi 2 days ago, that obviously we're not going to be mata shamnunis that's mixed with real blood. But the point is, once something begins to be tzalui, and it gets to the level of machal ben rusoi, or perhaps even less, that's a machlokas, the shach and the bach, what level is considered to be cooked for this, whether it's just half of the regular tzliya, a third of the regular tzliya, but whatever it is, it's not really blood anymore at that point. Since over here it's nikar, so there's no way to tell when you look at a piece of bread looks bright red. So because of that, we don't eat the bread. That's what Shmuel held. And it would be usher because it's considered to still be the dam be'en. But hanimilik de asmi, this is only where it's really red, not where it's just reddish. And this is only hanimilik de abre. It's only if it's penetrated through the entire piece so that it's on both sides. And v'hanimilik de asmi, also, it's only where it's not just colored water, but where it's thick, so that it really looks like blood. But if it's just like a thin juice that comes out, nobody's going to confuse that with blood. And therefore, it would only be if it's somuch of a klishta, if it's just a weak watery color, we have no problem. Shmuel used to take that kind of piece of bread that had been penetrated in this way, and he would give it to his doggy. So Shadi Leila Kalbe. They love that kind of stuff. So this is a ride that Shmuel liked his dog. Just in case Ari was worried. And Ravuna would give it to his waiter. What? What do you mean? Manav shach, if it's mutter, I mean, what does he have to give it to the waiter for? He'd eat it himself. It's mutter to everybody. If it's usser, it's usser to everybody. Since when do waiters have other dinim than other people? This is outrageous. You don't understand. Rav Huna was very fastidious. He could not stand eating something that looked so bloody. But he knew if somebody likes it, it was perfectly kosher, and his waiter liked it, so he gave it to the waiter. But Rav Huna was an ina daita. Rava not only would eat it, he considered it to be absolutely titav, and he called it chemar basar, the wine of the meat. This is like the tastiest. Some learned that he used the word chemar specifically to be meira, that even though it's red like wine, not like shmuel, you know, it's mamish red. Like, this is the best thing you could possibly eat. Why would we ask for mu'al? Everybody knows that after the meat is cooked, it's still going to have reddish coloration. I mean, unless you eat it the way these Ashkenazim eat it, you know. But if you eat it real, it's still what they call bloody, but that's not blood. So there, that's perfectly okay. And that's how we paskin, by the way, for change. Paskin l'kula on this. Amrim nachman amra shmu'al. Ein menichin kli tachat basar. You cannot put your beidugi to collect the drippings to use now as a sauce until all of the bright red coloring is gone, so that there shouldn't be any problem of dam. I mean, oh yeah, Dina, how would we know? I mean, what are we supposed to do, tear open the meat? So my sutra, Mishmeder of Papa Amar, Mishatala Timrato, when it starts, when the meat that's on the rotisserie starts to smoke, at that point you can assume that it's already gotten to beyond the stage where it's going to be dripping any kind of blood. Well, others learn, Rashi brings, that the rotisserie starts smoking. Because originally when there's a lot of liquid that's falling on the coals, it doesn't smoke. It's only when there's enough heat that the drippings are actually able to go up and smoke, that's when it starts to smoke. But initially, it just puts it out. It doesn't really smoke. Okay, two different lashons. Lamaisa, matki flor of ashi. I mean, what does that prove? I mean, how do you know that you're not talking about just the bottom of the piece that's on the grill? So maybe what happened is that if you were to turn this meat over, so now you'd have, again, a period which it wouldn't smoke, then it would start smoking again. It's very possible that only the bottom part has been cooked sufficiently that there's no dam, and you can't really collect what's dripping, because what's dripping would include dripping from the top part of the steak, which may still be very bloody. So what do you do with that? By the way, remember that nowadays we salt the meat. So none of this is nogea. This is talking about unsalted meat. Nobody normal would salt. Oh, not you. Okay, fine, yeah. But most people go to a butcher nowadays. The butcher only sells salted meat. So lamaisa, for your barbecue, you already are eating meat that's ruined. It's awful to use salted meat for a barbecue. But lamaisa, there's no need to salt the meat for a barbecue because it's all going to be kosher through tzli. Therefore, it doesn't need malicha. We do a slight malicha for tzliya, but it's really not makir. There were two issues in this daf. I mean, in these past few daf that were very very nogeya mi halacha lamaisa. The question over here about the shlika of the kaved, which was nogeya the kaved itself, or other kaved, not nogeya pieces of meat together with the kaved, where we're machmir, is also nogeya asering the pot of the kaved. Just like we said, you're going to aser a pot in which you use the pot to collect the dam if it wasn't minukav, like we had yesterday with the pinka, and so on. Anyway, so I was once a mashgiach on a boat. This is one of the brilliant stories. I walk into the kitchen, and this guy, this Greek guy, turned out to be a real smart aleck. But anyway, he has this big pot of boiling livers. Lamaisa, there are plenty of grounds to be made by Efsin Maruba and so on, as I said, because Mikratin, the ashlika of a liver, if they're all livers, really won't aser other livers, or they'll aser the pot. So the question was, I mean, it called for a quick decision, because any kind of kula in that kitchen was the end, because they would always build on it, you know. So lamaisa, that's the first time that I threw out an entire pot. And this was like one of these big, and it went straight out the porthole of the kitchen with all of the liver. And the other mice was that it became the joke that boat was followed probably by sharks, right? Because from that point on, any time that I would walk in and make a face about, what are you doing? You were just picking up and put the whole thing out. I was no, the whole thing went out the window. The most expensive thing of the God. They threatened me after a while. And when the chief steward came, warned me that they had once locked the mashgiach in the freezer. Nothing happened. But in the other fantastic thing we just talked about, is that at a certain point, you know, the Rav Amasher assures me that, you know, this and the boat, I can find as I go to the freezer, and I'm looking for meat to match the menu. I cannot find a single piece of meat that was mumba. It was all namaluach meat. It was sodakhalo nimlach. Worse was that all of the heterim, that after 3 days you could still do the malicha and so on, is only if the meat is frozen solid. Remarkably, although it was frozen, it wasn't frozen solid. It was like, you know, you could press it, you could move it. You couldn't, even that heter, not everybody, but here for sure. There was, so it turns out there wasn't a piece of meat usable on the boat. It was all without kolon nimlach. So from that day on, we only had barbecue. So the entire trip, we was able to do different things with it. Before anybody knew about Jacqueline, about his love affair, and he called it the American Lady. Nobody understood why is he calling it the American Lady. That was just a name for a boat, the American Lady.
Someone invented it?
No, he was running it at that time, Olympic Airways. He owned Olympic Airways, and he owned shipping. So this was his concern. They had like combinations with Olympic Air. But this was a disaster of a trip. The boat really, it was its maiden voyage. So the boat wasn't ready, really wasn't ready. So we're doing all kinds of illegal construction in the middle of the sea, welding and this. But, you know, when you turn on the water, and out comes diesel fluid, you know, through the toilet. It was just absolutely, it was crazy what was going on there. And then there was a period, this is like during Elul. And then there's like a week where the engines just break down. So we're sitting in the middle of the Atlantic without any power. This is like to Israel from New York. So I organized, you know, obviously as a member of the crew, this was completely usher, but I organized a passenger rebellion because we weren't going to get there at Seoul in time for Rosh Hashanah. So we had like this whole, it was terrible for their, you know, public relations. So when we came into Perea's, so we had all these signs where, you know, if they're not going to give us transportation to Eretz Yisrael, they're finished. So he gives us a plane, a charter that would take us to Eretz Yisrael. So we got in Mamish Erev Rosh Hashanah, the day before Erev Rosh Hashanah. But so I, as the Mashgiach, had two staterooms, one for sleeping and one for like a ton. That's one of the main reasons I took this way, so we could move all our stuff to Eretz Yisrael. So we had like an entire bedroom of baggage, and, you know, it was hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And he put it all on the plane.
Wow.
And, you know, and in those days, they didn't let you collect your own baggage. I don't know if you remember, but they used to have, this was like in 68, they used to have
porters,
only porters. You couldn't touch anything yourself. You know? So I have these guys coming over to you, oh, where's your stuff? And I tell the guy, you're going to be sorry. No problem. So you're going to be sorry. I mean, imagine, hundreds of pounds of stuff. I'm coming over there, the guy looks at me in
Mechas. No,
there's Mechas. The guy looks at me in Mechas. And he's looking at me. Did you just come on a plane? But since I was making Aliyah, the Sukhmut took care of the Mechas. But anyway, it's a cute story. So, right. I don't know. What, from Birkas Kohanim? Wow. Okay. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, how are you going to be semech on this? Therefore, Tainas Rav Ashi is only one way to be semech on making sure that you're not getting blood in your beidugin. Let le takanta le mishte beitarte gelale milcha. What you do is you have to put it in two clumps of salt, and here, all of the blood will be collected, will be drawn by that salt, and that way it's not going to mix together with the shuman that's on top. Umishafye, and then you pour off very gently from the top of the beidugi, you pour off all of the sauce that you want to use. Now here, as all the Rishonim point out, this is from the Bahag, that when he said two clumps of salt, he means dafka two, because if you put in more, oh my God, everybody's got to get into the act. This is like Jerusalem Syndrome squared. If you put in more than two, then it's going to make the dam thinner. It makes the dam thin, then the problem is it becomes mixed with the oil. You can't use it at all. It's mixed with the shamnunis. And here, of course, we run into the classical problem. Ein anu bikiyim. Because we don't really know exactly what's meant by trei galalei milcha. What is considered to be too little salt and what's considered to be too much salt. So as usual, in these cases of we're not bikiyim, we cannot be semech on utilizing a beidugi unless everything's been completely tsolui, in which case it's no fun anyway. You're telling me that according to Shmuel, it's mutter as long as there's no longer deep red coloration. Is that true though? V'omar Shmuel, kikar shechatach alei basar asur la'ochla. Why is it that Shmuel, if here he's saying it's okay after it's already cooked, but there he said the meat after it's cooked, if you cut it over a piece of bread, it's usur. Why is it usur? Ah, it's usur because shinei atam. The agav duchka de sakina palit. There, once the meat is being cut by a knife, the pressure of the knife forces out blood that wouldn't have come out with just the heat of the tzli. And that is the blood that he's ossering in the bread. He's not ossering blood that would have been kosher in the beidugi. That would have been fine. But since over here there's additional blood that comes out, that's osur. Now, what's interesting is that this question is nogea the next piece of Gemara as well. When we talk about tzli, or we talk about maliach, being motzi the dam, is it motzi all of the dam? Or is it just motzi the dam that might come out during other usages? Because remember, if you eat raw meat with blood, that's perfectly okay. Because dam that is nivla in the evorim is kosher. You don't have to kasher meat to eat it raw. You only need to kasher meat to eat it cooked. Or you don't even need to kasher meat to eat it broiled, because the broiling is the kashering. So this is a misconception that salting is somehow necessary for meat before you eat it. It's definitely not necessary. It's only cooking that creates the problem. So here the question is, and when we do salt, or we do malicha, does that remove all of the blood? So clearly what Shmuel is saying here, if we accept this answer, is that tzliya only removes the blood that's on the surface. But if you're going to cut through with a knife, you're going to put pressure on this meat, then there's going to be new dam that can come out.
And how does that work if you've got plates that you're cutting meat on? So you cut the meat and the blood's going to come into the plate. And you're
right, but over here it's not nicker. Remember that we really said after it's cooked, it's really mu'al at this point. But the problem is that here in the bread, it's mamish nicker. That's why he was machmer on it, not inside the piece. But as we'll soon see in the next problem, This becomes a fundamental issue. And here's the next problem. You put fish and chicken together in the same plate and you salt them. So you're maliach here with, for the blood of the chicken. It's usur. You can't eat the fish. Echidami, what would be the case? What type of kli are we talking about? If we're talking about a kli that does not have perforations in it to allow the dam out, so then even the chicken becomes usur. If you put in chicken and chicken, it reabsorbs the blood. So would nami be asiri? And if it's a kli menukav, so that the blood drains out as soon as it comes out of the chicken, so then what's the problem with the fish? Afilu dagim v'afot nami should be shari, should be mutter. Answers the Gemara. The truth is, kli menukav is what we're talking about, and nonetheless the fish are asur. Why is that? Because dagim, mishum derofu karmayu, kadmi upaltu, v'afot kamite. Fish have a very thin membrane. Their skin is very thin. And therefore, anything that's in the fish, although they're pellet, remember our rule is, as long as something is in the process of exuding material, it doesn't really pick up things. So, over here, the fish is going to be exuding sir. So all of the juices of the fish come out. But they come out very quickly, because there's only a thin membrane that holds them in. Since it's rafu, they are perlite. Ofot, on the other hand, are thick, they're kmite. By the time the dogim have finished exuding all of their juices, the ofot begin to exude blood. So plite ofot. And then the fish before the dam, our problem is not that they're both going to be sitting in a pile of blood. The blood drains out, but that's irrelevant in this case. Because Bishleim, if we were talking about only birds being in their ofot, it would be very relevant, because by the time the birds have all finished exuding their dam, there's no more dam left in the container for them to reabsorb the dam. But the fish, as the blood is exuded from the birds, it falls over the fish on its way to the nekev, and at that point, the fish picks it up immediately. Now, the question is, it picks it up immediately, why doesn't it also exude it immediately? Because of the klal, that whatever it's going to pick up, it's going to also be maflit. After all, it's still salted, so whatever the salt is going to do for the bird, the salt should do for the fish. And here is where the Rambam actually describes the process of salting. In the context of this halacha, is that the salt is not meant to remove all of the blood. Therefore, if something will absorb blood of Isser, remember, the blood, as long as it's in its original location, is not Osser. The blood becomes problematic only after it's perished from the Aver. Now, that blood is reabsorbed here by the fish. So you'll say, okay, but the fish still is salted. That's right, but the salt is only going to cause the surface layers of the fish to exude. It doesn't change the osmotic pressure all the way inside the fish. Because of that, whatever was absorbed in the fish of Isser, of the salt, remains Osser. And it's not going to come out with the salt. So this is a din of the Rambam that many of the Rishonim are chaylik on. They give different explanations for why salt will not take out this, because it's already changed its consistency, because it's become mixed with salt. If it's become mixed with salt in the first place, you don't change the osmotic pressure by salting the outside, and so on. So how are you going to draw it out? Whatever. But this Rambam has a lot of impact on the overall halakhas. Now here, Tosfos questions very fundamentally that this all seems to be a very simplistic argument, because according to this, it should depend on the size of the piece. It should depend on what you put it in. But what did the Gemara say? If you put in a piece of chicken, and then 5 minutes later you put another piece of chicken, then one piece of chicken is going to stop being exuding, and it's going to start being bolei. And the other piece of chicken is still leaking, so you shouldn't be allowed to have different sizes at different times and so on. How come nobody ever brings that up? Why is it only nogea fish? I mean, it's certainly much more important to take into consideration the different times and the sizes if you're talking about the thing itself. See, so he has to be mechalik. I mean, he offers three possibilities. here of the differences between them, which we'll get into later. But what he Tainus in his most fundamental point is that the Dagim are polate before the chickens even begin exuding blood. And therefore, there's a problem. As long as something, this is as many as so that it's the game many places, if something is being polate, something is exuding, then it will continue that process, whatever new things are added, even after it's maflit any of its own juices. If it hasn't stopped being polate, then it's going to continue, then we say kibolo kach polto. As soon as it absorbs something, it's going to get rid of the same thing that it absorbed. So memela, the time is not really much of a factor, because it would have to completely stop, meaning that you'd be putting something into a container of something else that had been nimlach hours before, and now you're only going to start being melech the other thing, then you could indeed run into a problem. But that indeed you won't do, because there's all shalah now bichlal whether it's kosher. So memela, not buying into any of the issues of the Rambam, it's only a problem with the thin membrane of fish, because the process ends with the fish before it begins with the chicken. Otherwise, it's not a problem. Rav Mori Barachel, let's see that inside, I'm not sure. The Rav of Carmel, Kadmi Upalte, yeah, I did say that. The office kabite. So, Bosse, the Daiche Dagim, Pliti Ofot, Vader Balamines. After the fish have ceased exuding, the Ofot are now continuing to let out Dam, and that Dam is going to be absorbed by the fish. Ramori Barachel Imlech Le Basar Shkuta, Vade Basar Trefa. Here there was a problem of mixing Basar that was kosher together with Basar that was treif. They didn't realize it, they salted them together. So Otto Lekami de Rava, he comes to Rava to find out whether, because of the fact that these meats were both in the same state of exuding blood, then that exudation prevents any blia of the shamnunis of the trefa, and there should be no problem of the trefa, because the trefa didn't affect the kosher, because the kosher was, anyway, being maflit the entire time. This is similar to the question we had about the livers together with the meat. And the problem is that the liver continues to exude after the meat already completed. So then Abaye, if you recall, suggested earlier that maybe the liver, the Mishnah and Trumas, that talks about the liver not being Neseret, means it's not Neseret from Trefus. So he wanted to know what the din would be Lagabe Basar under similar circumstances. Says Rava to him, you know, we darshan from the pasuk of Ela Hatimeim Lachem B'chol HaSheretz. What's a Hatimeim? Why do we need the Hatimeim? That's coming to say all elements of the Sheretz. It's not just Sheretz, one single thing that's Tameh. It's a whole list of Tameh things. And it asers Tziran, Urot Van, Bekipar Shalahem, everything about it is Aser. Whether you're talking about the thin liquid, the tzir that comes out of it, so that's just the juices, the rotav, which is the actual colored, when you cook it, that's the, not the gravy, what do you call it, the sauce, and the kippah is the gravy that has actual pieces of tavlin and pieces of meat gathered together in the bottom, it's all osir, in which case, here too, you have the tzir of the trefa, which is easier to absorb than the dam. Some of the Rishonim ask how in the world this is supposed to be a solution to his question. Just telling me that the tzir is usher doesn't tell me anything. Because I knew that, maybe. I mean, my question was that since one was in a state of aflata, it's not going to be bolea. So how are you addressing the question that was asked, Tainus the Rashba and the Ritva? This doesn't really answer his question. Maybe he was well aware of the fact that tzir is usher. Why should we think he wasn't aware that tzir was also? So they explain that the inyan over here is that the difference between tzir and reitev is specifically this problem. And that's what he was answering him, Rava. Rotav is the juice of the meat that comes out in cooking. But tzir is juice of the meat that comes out through the malicha of the dam. So the only point of saying that the tzir is ne'asar is for this case. That's how they learn it. Because otherwise, anyway, you have dam. Ah, so in other words, I have to know that the tzir is asur to tell me that even though I'm being matir because of the pleat of the dam, there's no problem of dam, there is a problem of tzir. Okay, it's a very creative approach, anyway. But that certainly addresses the question very clearly. Asks the Gemara, why not just say because of Shmuel's halacha? Shmuel's halacha is, as we've had many times already, Yama Shmuel, Maliach Hareo Kiroteach, the Kavush Hareo Kimavushal. Maybe you should simply tell him that you basically cook these pieces of meats together. Because forget about the question of the plita. How about the heat, the equivalent of heat of Malicha? Says the Gemara, because Shmuel wouldn't have proved anything. Because imidishmuel avon mina animili daman avot siran verot van lo. If he only would have told us Shmuel's halacha, I might have thought that maybe tzir is considered to be mere liquid. Zeya be'alma is the word, the technical word, for liquid that comes out of things that are asr, but does not contain any mamashut of the thing that's asr. It's just an exudation. So he wanted to say that no matter what the issue is, if there's tzir, the tzir is asr midiraisa, this is considered to be a real drasha, say the Rishonim. So since I would have thought maybe the tzir itself is only zeya, kamash malan, that the tzir itself is considered to be primary isser. Omar Chizkiya Mishum Abaye Hilchis Adogim Sha'alu B'Kara Mutar La'Ochlan B'Kutach Tzlon She'Chatachol B'Sakin She'Chatach B'Basar Asur La'Ochlo B'Kutach V'Anim Ili Tzlon Da'Gev Churpe Bola Avakishut Gorir Levei Paske V'Ochel Kilche D'Lifta Shori D'Silka Asira. So what you can do is Yipotach with the lifta first Shapir Domi Boi Minei Rev Dimi Merev Nachman Ma'o La'Nuche Kada D'Malcha Gabi Kada D'Kamcha Omalei asur. And how about chalamai? Omalei, no, that's mutter. Umayshna, heh, mayshna. Lechitecha lalakur de milcha. My time up. Hai itei sur beinei, vai leitei sur beinei. Uba guza de nofala kada de kimcha. Sharia revchina nabere de rova bi pashrunia. Omar rova, ah! Who could have done such a great thing? Man chachim lemisha kagavni love revchina nabere de rova bi pashrunia. I'll tell you what he's thinking. Shmuel shavi le lekalbe, Ravuna yoyv le lashame. What? Manav shachi shari le kuleyam shari. He also le kuleyam aser. Whoever heard of prejudice against shames? Shiny Ravuna danina daite. Rava ochele vikarle yam chamar basar. Om Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel ein menichin kli tachat basar ad yechale kol mar'e ad mumit shabo minaya dinan. Mazut Rav Mishmeder of Papa Amar Mishet taalet imrato. Matke Floravashi, what does that prove? Dilma tata mata ilolo mata. Elam Ravashi, look, the only thing you can do, let the takanta, alamishta beitarte glale milcha, no less and no more. And then, mishafye carefully. Umle Ravacha breder avikal Ravashi. Umi or meshmul achi, vamashmul kikashi chatachale abasara sulachla. Yes, but that's different because it's agav duke de sakina. It will be polydam that otherwise wouldn't have been niflat. Om Rav Nachman, dagim va'ofot, shemalchan zeim zeh, the dagim are asurim. Echidam, ibekli she'edam benukav, afilo ofot ve'ofot, nami should be asur. And ibekli benukav, afilo dagim va'ofot, nami should be mutter. Truth is, we're talking about le'olam bekli benukav. The dagim, mishub derapu karmayu, kadmei upalte. The ofot, on the other hand, are kemite, so batat ad echidagim. And Tosis learns in one pshat, pliti ofot means, at that point, and only at that point, begins the pleat of the ofod. And then, hadar balimine, remori barochel imlach le basar shechuta ba'adi basar trefa. Ata lekabed rava, omar le, there's no way to be matirit, because hatme imlachem comes to include le'esor tziran, v'rotvan v'kipash alayem,
Why doesn't he just say the problem is that Malicha is Kiroteach, Minishmua? No, because it wouldn't prove anything. Because Ibn Shmuel have a Minahan Mili Daman. And we've dealt with the Dam problem in this case. It wouldn't answer. Avot Siran Verotvam would not be enough to answer. Maybe it's Zeya Be'alma. Kamash Malan, that series, Aser.